Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 1 is a powerful verse. I say that about a lot of verses. I said it about two or three times in Sunday school this morning. But you know, the Word of God is full of powerful verses. Amen? And I want to draw your attention to the last part of this verse. I'll read it again. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You know, when we let things slip, we let them drift away from us. And I titled this message this morning, Are You Drifting? I read of a tragic event that resulted from drifting. Two young men were fishing below a low dam on a river near their hometown. They fished there many times. As they were concentrating on catching fish, they were unaware that how far they had drifted until they were not far from the water flowing over the dam. When they realized their situation and the current near the dam had become too powerful for them to row the boat against the current to keep from going over the dam. And below the dam, the water was dashing with strong force, and there was great boulders, and there was crevices that water was bubbling and pouring through, and they went over the dam. They disappeared in the water. After days of relentless searching, the divers finally found one body. And then two or three days later, the other body. And how tragic an event physically it was in their lives that their lives was lost because they did not realize how far they had drifted. Friends, the danger of drifting is not limited to the physical realm for you and I. Here in Hebrews chapter 2:1, we find a warning against letting things slip or letting things drift. Sadly, today it's not uncommon for Christians to drift towards destruction. We see that all the time. Now, I'll give you a heads up. I have a ton of verses, and I really encourage you to make an outline. Some of the verses, I may just give you the reference and not even go to it for sake of time this morning. But follow with me, and if you can, get a pencil and paper handy. Now, my first question this morning is, are you drifting? You see, now, help me to understand that, preacher. I'm glad you asked me that, because I'm going to do just that. Now, again, brethren, are you drifting? Would you know it if you were? I hope to stimulate here this morning careful introspection in your spiritual life regarding the dangers of drifting away from the Lord. Consider with me, first of all, Roman numeral number 1, things we should know about drifting. Things we should know about drifting. Letter A, drifting requires no effort. Drifting requires no effort at all. Just stop rowing or tracking against the wind, and a boater will begin to drift. The same is true for the Christian, which is why we're told here in Hebrews chapter 2:1 that we must give the more earnest heed to these things, lest we let them slip or let them drift from us. Letter B, things we should know about drifting. Letter B, it is an unconscious process as well. It's an unconscious process. Any of you ever do anything unconsciously? You know, like lay your glasses someplace. Sometimes I'll call my wife and I cannot get her on the phone. I know she's home. Cell phone. And, well, anyway, I threatened to make a necklace out of a cell phone, but sometimes I come home and she'll say, oh, I never heard it ring. And then pretty soon it's, where's it at? Hey, honey, would you call my number so I can find my phone, you know? But all of us, I do the same thing, not with my phone, but I got other things I do. I subconsciously do something without thinking about what I'm doing, and then it's lost. And we've all done that, haven't we? And what we want to do? We want to blame our wife or blame our husband. You had it, didn't you? You know? And that's what we wind up doing, playing the blame game so many times. But seriously, drifting is an unconscious process. It is entirely possible to drift unaware. In a boat, or undercurrents are often unnoticeable from the surface. Sometimes on the surface you think you're sitting still, but you're really drifting. In a plane, the wind or gravitation forces move the plane without you and I even realizing it. These folks just flew to California. I'll guarantee you the pilots had to continually retract their course back and forth as air currents and jet stream and all that has an effect upon the plane's destination and the plane's heading, and it has to continually be corrected. And the same is true, friends, in the spiritual realm. Many individual Christians have slowly drifted and drifted, and some have drifted away. They're out of our sight. They've drifted that far out of our sight. There's some in here today that are drifting. And unless you allow the Holy Spirit to intervene in your life, you may be a casualty and drift out of our sight. It is entirely, entirely possible. Many churches have gradually drifted into error, one day only to find themselves far removed from the fundamentals of faith and the Scriptures. We have to be on guard for that. Remember, it's a slippery slope. It really is. It's an unconscious thing. It can happen to us unconsciously without us realizing that we drifted. And sometimes in a message like this, or another type message, sometimes the Holy Spirit will use that to wake us up. Hey, where are you at? And then I examine myself and said, my goodness, I've drifted. I've drifted back. I've drifted from the things of God. I'm not what I used to be in Jesus Christ. How did I get here? I had a fella who at one time was a deacon in another church, fell out of church, called me and wanted to talk to me. And I never forget what he said to me. Come in my office, sit down, he said, if somebody would have told me that I have drifted this far in my Christian life, a year ago, I'd have called them a liar. But look where I am today. I never dreamed my life would be this messed up. And it all happened because of drifting away from the things of God. Letter C. We never drift upstream or against current. When you drift, you never drift upstream or against the current. You know, faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ in our Christian life is a lot like rowing upstream. It's an everyday event. We're rowing upstream spiritually, following the will of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. You must be constantly adding to your faith. 2 Peter 1:5 teaches that we need to constantly be adding to our faith. You must continue to grow. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, the minute you stop growing, you've stopped rowing. And if you stop rowing, you're drifting. You need to understand that this morning. And drifting always, always will lead you further away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Further away from the Word of God. Further away from the daily fundamentals of the faith that you and I are to live out in our life every single day. Letter D. The speed downstream increases. the dangers increase with the speed of the drift. And when we hear the noise of the waterfalls, my friends, it's already too late. When we lose sight of land, it is more difficult to discern that we are drifting. Many years ago, I had a Lake Erie boat, sort of. One of my deacons says, if you can pull it behind the car, it's too small for Lake Erie. That was his opinion. But my dad and I were trolling out the central basin for walleye out of Lorraine, and we was literally out of sight of land. And I'd been out there several times and really catching walleye, sometimes steelhead trolling, just having a ball, and all once the motor quit. Now, if you get way out there, a lot of times there won't be any other boats around, especially if you're trolling. You know, now a lot of them pack up when they find the walleye and they drift fish, you know, with the iridary and all that. To make a long story short, my dad and I were both scared, but I act like I wasn't scared at all for the sake of my dad. But I could not find a single way to get that motor to start. There wasn't any boats, and you couldn't even tell you was drifting. It was like we were stuck out in the middle of Lake Erie. And I was so much wanting to see a boat someplace where I get some help. After a while, it seemed like at least an hour, we began to see little buildings. The buildings were just wee little buildings off the distance. And at first you had to strain your eyes to see them. After another hour, I recognized downtown Cleveland. Now, we still wasn't nearly close to shore. But you see, we were drifting. And while we were drifting, we had no idea where we were drifting. We had no idea where we was at. We couldn't see land, and we were absolutely helpless. Praise God, eventually a boat came. And we got help and towed all the way to the dock where I put the boat in. But you see, my friends, when you lose sight of land, it is more difficult to discern that you're drifting. And as we move further and further from the Lord, we find folks care less and less about what they do, about even the fact of calling themselves Christians. Letter E, it is dangerous to others when you drift. It's dangerous to others when you drift as Christians. I'll never forget. As long as I live, I'll never forget. We took a little holiday. Took off and went down to Marietta. Got a motel right on Ohio River. I pulled my boat down there. My boys was teenagers. We was going to go skiing in Ohio River. And I keep telling these stories of myself. You'll never go out in the boat with me, will you? But anyway, I took them out there skiing. We was having the best of time. My youngest boy was skiing. And you know that current? I'm not used to. I'm used to a lake. And that current, somehow or another, my boy fell off. And I went to turn the boat and I caught the rope in the prop. Not only did I catch it in the prop, but it cut the rope off. Stalled the motor. And here's my oldest son, he's 16, and my other boy, he's 13. He's got a life jacket on, he's got his skis sticking out of the water, and he's drifting down Ohio River. And by the way, I noticed that he was drifting a whole lot faster than we were. And here we are in the boat, the motor is dead, I pull it up, and the rope's all wrapped around the prop, and inside the prop as well, you can see, I tried to pull it out, it was inside. Next thing I knew, my 16-year-old son had a life jacket on, he jumped in there, and he's going to take the prop off, and get the rope out there, put it back together. Now there's cotter pin, there's all kind of pieces. Folks, I tell you what, I was praying like I never prayed before. I was dead in the water. We were drifting. My youngest son, somehow or another, was drifting faster than us. And he probably wasn't old enough to realize the danger he was in. I'll tell you, a big barge come or anything like that, I mean, they hardly see him. I mean, it's dangerous to be adrift like that. And I prayed as my boy took every part a piece on that outboard motor, and I was holding it and taking it in and praying, "Oh, son, don't drop nothing." Praise God he didn't. We got going. And I tell you what, that ended skiing on the Ohio River. And I went down and rescued my poor son who was floating way down the Ohio River. See, it's dangerous to others when you drift. A ship just drifting is a hazard to all the vessels at sea because they have no control. When you're adrift, you have absolutely no control. Now listen to me. Parents who are just drifting will soon lose the golden opportunities to teach their children. You know, Ephesians 6:4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but raise him in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." You know, we have a great responsibility to the next generation, our children. And when you and I are drifting, we lose all opportunity to have the right influence upon our children that they might be able to stand fast in the things of God and be the sons and daughters of God that God can use to affect the next generation. Many are tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, according to Ephesians 4:14. Let's not let that be our life. Remember, when you drift, it's dangerous to others. And then, letter F in my outline, it ends in shipwreck. Drifting ends in shipwreck. I don't know how many of you may remember this, but several years ago, there was a middle-aged couple with a very large boat out on Lake Erie. It was somewhere in between Catawba Point and South Bass Island, and the engine died. It was a big boat, a really big boat. And the husband, just him and her on the boat, now husband was working on the boat, motor, trying to get it started. It wouldn't start. Why they didn't call for help, I don't know. But I well remember the incident made the news. They kept getting closer, drifting closer and closer to shore. They got really close to shore. He got a pike pole out. How many knows what a pike pole is? It's a long pole. It looks like a point almost on up. They use that to push off. And he gave his wife the pike pole, told her to try to keep it away from the rocks. There she stood on the edge of the boat, the middle of the boat with that pike pole, trying to keep that big boat from the rocks. The waves pushed it closer and closer. It pushed it so close, it began to tip the boat, and it tipped and knocked her off. She fell down among the rocks. The next wave lifted the boat, and fell on her and crushed her to death. How tragic that story was. How true that story was as well. Still left a huge impression upon my mind. And it all happened because they were drifting. Because they were drifting. A boat adrift will crash on the rocks or go over the falls. And for those who drift spiritually through their own neglect, there should be no escape from a just punishment of drifting. Look back, Hebrews chapter number 2, verse 1. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense to reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" Let me tell you, my friends, I believe Apostle Paul, myself, wrote Hebrews. But we have, how shall we, and Paul included himself in that, how shall we the saved escape if we the saved neglect so great a salvation? So many times this verse is used for those who are lost, and you could apply it that way. But it's written for you and for me not to neglect such a great salvation that we have in us that began when the Lord Jesus Christ gave His life on the cross of Calvary for you and me. And how dare we neglect what He's given us and just take it nonchalantly and allow ourselves to drift away from God and the things of God. We are a hazard to ourselves and to others around us. And if we don't get our course changed, if we don't stop drifting and get back right with God, we're going to wreck in the ruts, we're going to go over the dam, and our life is going to be a mess. The danger of drifting is real, my friends. Well, there'd be no need for God to warn us against it. So again, I ask you this morning, are you drifting? Here are some common signs of drifting. Roman numeral number 2, common signs of drifting. A, diminishing desire to study God's Word and pray. One of the signs of drifting as a Christian is a diminishing desire to study the Word of God and to pray. You know, the Bible is the most unique book ever written. A source of information that is absolutely living and vital to us as Christians that's found no place else. There's been a lot of books written about the Bible, but there's only one Bible. The living a Word of God. And without God's revelation, how can we truly know our origin, our purpose, and our destiny? It tells us of sin's dreadful consequences, and how God saves us from sin. It provides directions for happy living and useful lives. Look back with me to Psalm chapter number 1. Psalm chapter number 1, if you would, please. As I go back there as well, and I'm sure they'll have it up on the screens. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, but his delight is the law of God, the Word of God. And in his Word, or his law, does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's a Christian that's not drifting. That's a Christian that's rowing hard every single day, meditating on the Word of God, praying, reading the Word of God, rowing every single day of our life. And God will richly bless us for that. And what we do, He says, will prosper. When one loses their desire to study God's Word, they are drifting. And you know, prayer is a wonderful blessing, an avenue to communicate with God. And when you're rowing every day in your Christian life and some drastic thing happens to you, if you do something stupid, like get the ski rope all round up in the prop and the motor dies, you don't have to think about things for a little bit. Feel like you can't pray until you get about 3 or 4 situations to ask forgiveness for in your life before you can ask for help. But when you're rowing every day, you can go immediately to God in prayer. And not worry about unconfessed sin and problems in your life. Oh, how good God is to us. What a wonderful, wonderful gift He's given us. The gift of prayer as we talk to Him. You know, Jesus, who loved the Father, often prayed early in the morning. Matthew 1:35. He often prayed in the evening, Matthew 6:46. And he expressed his concern that his disciples not grow weary to pray. Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. That faint, the word faint means to fall away or to stop, or as I apply today, drift. Don't drift. Pray. Pray every day. Pray always. And when the Christian prays less and less, he's drifting more and more. I'm talking about common signs of drifting. Letter B, diminishing desire to be with God's people. Wow. This includes attending services to worship God. You know, you can see it begin. Folks begin to miss fellowships. They begin to miss Wednesday night. And then after a while, they begin to miss Sunday night. Then after a while, all you see them is Sunday morning. Let me tell you, folks, they're drifting. They're drifting. You know, I've been in the ministry a long time. And I cannot afford to miss church. I can't. If I miss church for a week, I don't feel right. I feel backslidden and ugly. I know I'm already ugly, but I feel backslidden. Amen? I do. And even sometimes just sick and not able to be here. You know, I had a terrible time a couple of years ago. I missed a lot of work, and I was home, and they wanted me home. They wanted me down. They wanted me in bed, and they didn't want me doing anything. And I felt awful. I praise God for WHVT. I praise God. I can listen to every service, but it's never the same. It's not even close to the same. It's a help, and it's just like getting 5 milligrams of something you need when 30 would cure you. Amen? It's just a little bit of a help. But being here and being in the service, feeling the wonderful Spirit of God working in our midst, you don't get that over the radio, folks. You do not get that over the radio. Diminishing desire to be with God's people. And one should always have the attitude of the psalmist of 122:1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This morning I asked the Sunday school class, how many jumped out of bed and said, it's Sunday! It's Sunday! Praise God! I can't wait to get there. Nobody raised their hand. Including me. Well, what happens after you get here? Oh, the Spirit of God blesses you for being faithful. And you thank God that you got up. You thank God that you got moving. You thank God that you're able to be right here. And God blesses you, my friends, when you do that. Listen, if we no longer rejoice in the worship of God in the presence of the brethren, we're drifting. If right now you wish I was done so you could leave, you're drifting, my friends. I'm serious. I'm not joking. You're drifting. Fellowship with God's people extends beyond the services of our church. We are to be concerned with edifying one another daily. Romans 14:19. We're to be concerned with edifying one another daily. And such edification, Hebrews 3:13 teaches us, should be daily. For the right kind of friendship strengthens us. Listen, folks, we draw strength from each other. Say, there's times when I don't want any of you, all I want is Jesus. There's times that all I need is Him. But there's times when I need a human touch. There's times when I need a human ear. There's times when I need a human tongue. And there's times when I need Jesus to speak through you to encourage me. And friends, there's times when you need the same thing from me or someone else to encourage you. And when you're drifting, you're no encouragement to anybody. Amen? When a Christian prefers the companions of people of the world or backslidden Christians rather than fellow Christians, they are drifting towards the rocks of spiritual destruction. Letter C, diminishing desire to share the gospel. You know, when one obeys the gospel, when we get saved, he knows God has blotted out his sins and made him a new creature in Christ. And he has such a desire to tell everybody in the whole world about Jesus. Were you that way when you first got saved? Well, I was. When I first got saved, I would find any little thing I could find at all, if anybody I was talking to bring up Jesus and how good He was and the fact that He saved me. And most people, when they first get saved, are like that. But we all know what happens after a while, don't we? We begin to drift a little bit about that. Well, I don't want to offend anyone. Most of the time, when we get shy about telling others about Christ and what the real bottom line is, we're worried about what they're going to think about us. We have an opportunity while we're living to tell others about Christ. And if you're drifting, no matter how much you tell them about Christ, they'll watch your life and pay no attention to you. When a Christian no longer has the desire to take the message of salvation to others, he's really drifting far downstream. Letter D. Increasing thrill over the things of the world is a sign of drifting, such as the greater thrill over worldly honors. For example, parents of one young man were so excited beyond measure over worldly honor that he had received that they never one time in their life ever demonstrated such excitement over spiritual matters. But because their boy won an honor, they exhibit exuberant excitement. Within the passing time, the entire family had drifted beyond the point of no return and was no longer in church. The Apostle Paul warned us against the love of the world and the things of the world in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. My friend, excuse me, we need to remember that. Jesus Christ needs to be my first love. And when I allow people to influence me to the point where I'm loving things of the world so much, it's taking me away from the things of God, I'm drifting. Takes me out of church, I'm drifting. Such as increasing enjoyment and worldly pleasures. Paul describes some who were lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. They love pleasure more than they love God. Boy, I tell you what, you're far down the river, drifting away from God, when that could be said of your life. If we reach the point when we're finding more pleasure in some worldly activity than meeting with others to worship God, we definitely are spiritually adrift. It's a good thing I'm about done, because for some reason or other I'm losing my voice. Let me talk to you last of all about remedies against drifting. I gave you a description of drifting. How to know when you're drifting. Let me give you the remedy for drifting. A. Letter A. Keep rowing. Keep rowing. Spiritually speaking, this involves diligence. Look with me at 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. If you would, please. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. Besides this, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And it goes right on what we're to continually add to our faith or to row. Look down at verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. It also means to keep abounding in our Christian graces. Back to 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 6. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, drifters, is blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Listen, friends, there's no place for retirement in the Christian life. None at all. We're to stay active for Him all the days of our life. We're to row our boat for Him all the days of our life. We're to row against the current all the days of our life. We're to row against the wind all the days of our life. And you can be sure Satan will send current against you and send wind against you in this life to try to cause you to drift. But just keep rowing. I love what Brother Lester Roloff used to say. Just keep on keeping on. Just keep on keeping on. And that's what we need to do as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Letter B, watch out for undercurrents. We must always be on the guard for undercurrent or temptation. For we have a fleshly nature which wars against our soul. Now, I don't think I have to convince anyone of that. 1 Peter 2:11 certainly teaches that very, very clearly. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Jesus Christ and the glory that should follow. That's 1 Peter chapter, chapter 1, verse number 11. But look at also chapter 2 and verse number 11. There also, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. We have many, many warnings. Galatians chapter 5 gives us a list of things to avoid, verses 16 to 18, that will work itself up in our flesh. And you and I must be on guard against those things and watch out for the undercurrents as we row. C, expect to go against the current. There are many tides out there to sweep us away. Popularity, peer pressure, the praise of others, modernism, skepticism, humanism, denominationism, false doctrines of all kinds. All these are great enemies of you and me and the church as well. And my friends, we have to row against those things. If one drifts along with the majority, he will certainly be lost. Because the majority are on a broad road. My Bible tells me in Matthew chapter 7, and many be that find destruction on that road. Letter D. We must have strong anchorage. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 says that we need to be rooted and grounded in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15 teaches us that our minds must be anchored to the truth. And the truth is the Lord Jesus Christ, for He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. We must have strong anchorage. We must possess an unshakable hope. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 through 19. And my friends, that hope is not, gee, I hope I get to heaven. Gee, I hope it works out. But that hope is a continued, steadfast knowledge that Jesus is coming again and taking you and I with Him to heaven who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as His personal Savior. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Possessing an unshakable hope. Rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Ephesians 3, 16 and 18. That's where I want to be. I want to bathe. I want to bathe. I want to soak myself, my friends, in the love of Christ. And then I want to spread that all around. I want to show others the love of Christ. I want to show my brothers and sisters the love of Christ. I want to show those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior the love of Christ. In conclusion, brethren, are we drifting? That's my question this morning. You know, the danger is real. It's real from the Word of God, and we would be foolish to say otherwise. Many have drifted away from the Lord today, and we would be ignorant, my friends, if you and I were to say it could not happen to me or to you or to us. I ask you seriously now this morning, are there signs of drifting in your life? Honestly, ask yourself that question. Is it my desire to study God's Word and pray? Or has it been diminishing in my life? Is it my desire to be with God's people? Or has that been diminishing in my life? Have I lost my desire to tell others about Christ and to save those who are lost? Am I too much enamored and involved in the things of this world? Friends, if any way we must confess that we're drifting, then we would be able to be an encouragement one to another to give earnest heed as warned by the writer to Hebrews. Back to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Let's stand together, please.